Of the Ten Commandments, the third commandment. We see this in Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord. And let me just remind all of us that if you're reading in the King James Version, which is a good thing to do, it puts L-O-R-D with capital O-R-D every place where it's translating the Hebrew word Jehovah, the name Jehovah. So do not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain, for the Lord, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. When they finished the wilderness wanderings and came back, God gave the law again in Deuteronomy 5, verse 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, Jehovah, thy God in vain, for the Lord, Jehovah, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And so the same commandment given again. If I were to say this as something, let's internalize this. Let us make this a statement that I say. So you say, I say. It would be this. I am to revere. The word revere means to feel deep respect, to feel deep admiration for. I am to revere God's name, and what that name refers to is his character, and I am to do that in my words, actions, and attitudes, living in holiness because his name is holy. I am to revere God's name and his character. So that's what we're going to work toward. This is an interesting subject to me because so much is involved that it sounds like a little thing. Don't take my name in vain. Now we call taking the Lord's name in vain when you hear somebody using his name in cursing. When you're asking someone for God to condemn them forever, you know. But it's bigger than that. In Leviticus 22:32, he says, neither shall ye profane my holy name. Profane means to use it as everyday stuff. A holy place would be some place that you don't use it for everyday stuff, you see. The temple had holy cups and saucers. You didn't take them home and eat your cornbread and beans in them, you see. It was just used for God's stuff. Separated. That's what holiness is, to separate. Keep it separate for a special use. So he says, neither shall ye profane my holy name. We're going to get to that. Using his name, his character, in profane ways, in just everyday ways. But I will be hallowed, I will be made holy among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. I make you holy. I am holy, I make you holy. But here he says, neither shall you profane my holy name. Again in Isaiah 57, verse 15, a verse that I refer to often because this is the statement of the transcendent God. This is the God that is outside of time and space. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Where does he live? Not in time, passing through time, but outside of time, in eternity. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. It's not saying, call me holy. He means that my name should be counted as holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He is so high that he's beyond this universe. He is beyond time and space entirely. And you say, how would we ever reach such a high and lofty being? He says, be lowly in heart. Be contrite in your understanding of your sin. I am with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. when you're beating yourself up because of that, he says, now you can come to me, the all-wise, eternal God. This morning, we'll get to more later, a week from next week. We'll get into this, and because I love to get into the positive. Here's a negative. Don't take my name in vain. Negative. But we want to look at what that means in the positive sense. What does that mean we should do? You see, we'll get to that next time I bring a message on the third commandment. But today I want to talk about two things. Just first of all, the name of the Lord. And then what does it mean to take it in vain? Let me take you to Exodus 3, 13 and 14. This is Moses standing before the burning bush. This is God interesting him in a bush that is on fire but doesn't burn down. I think he had seen things on fire, and they crumbled, and they, especially bushes, you know, leaves would crumble and so on. Here was a bush that wouldn't go out. It just kept burning. He said, I'm going to check this out. He gets over there, and God speaks to him through the burning bush. He says, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to lead my people out of there, lead them from their captivity. They're being held as slaves. They're building the pyramids and other stuff. You lead them out. He says, me? I can't do it. He says, yes, you can. So he says, well, now I have a question. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, tell him this good news that I'm leading them out, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, really? They shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now, we're going to get into why he was asking, what is your name? That meant something to Moses. Probably doesn't mean that to us. But we'll get to that. But here's God's answer. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Wasn't the name he was expecting, see? The kind of name. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. I include in this Exodus 6:3 because it says something that's important we'll get to as we develop it. But he says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. The I am becomes the name Jehovah. Now, I'm going to give you more detail than you want. I'm going to give you more detail than you need. But if I don't give you the detail, I don't think anybody will. I've never heard this anyplace else. But here it is, simple fact from the Hebrew scripture. I am, in Exodus 3, tell them I am, has sent you, could be represented with the English letters A-H-Y-H. Didn't have vowels in it, so the A is a sort of a consonant. It is the imperfect first person singular of the verb to be, I am. Imperfect means it continues to be what it is. It isn't completed. First person singular. I am. I am being. I am existing. But the word Jehovah, there in Exodus 6, my name Jehovah, could be represented with the English letters YHWH. It is the imperfect third person singular of the verb to be, and is, he is, all right? He is. Now, I've never heard anybody deal with this. Maybe this is too complicated to get into people's heads. But that's the fact. So, to summarize, point A here is there are two forms of the name. There are two forms of the same verb meaning to be. A-H-Y-H is I am, while Y-H-W-H is literally he is. Now, this is to be understood as he exists. This is the perfect name for the transcendent God. And we'll explain more about that in a moment. He exists without limit or boundary. Are you the God of the hill? No, I am. Are you the God of the valley? No, I am. I am, you see. Are you the God of the past or the future? I am, you see. It includes everything. I am being. While the two words are not identical, they are to be considered the same name, as is evident in the two verses above. He refers to the name Jehovah as the way of saying, I am. But they're actually just a bit different. Now, a more important consideration are the two features of this as a name. I want you to understand that God has many titles, but he has only one name. We sometimes call our titles names. We mix it up in our thinking. But I want you to consider the difference between a title and a name. For instance, me. My legal name, we were talking about this with some of the medical people. My legal name is John Edward Weigel, Jr. I am the son of John Edward Weigel, Sr., you see. That's why I'm a junior. I am very rarely called that. Usually I go by one of my titles. What titles do I have? Pastor. Doctor, when I'm at school. Daddy, when I had little kids. Uncle. All these things. These are titles. Now, even my common nickname, Jack, which my friends that are not calling me pastor and doctor and stuff will call me Jack. But Jack actually is a title that was given to prevent confusion between my dad and I. John would be both of us, so I became Jack. Now, while I love the title pastor and daddy, what great names, and smoochy bun, she doesn't come like that. These are not strictly my name. So understand the difference. The titles describe what you do or who you are to someone. Titles. You can think of your titles, you see. But they are not the same as your name. Now let me take you back to Exodus 6:3. He's making a comparison here. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now the Exodus 6:3 phrase, the name of, if you look at this, you see the italics, how the letters are slanted. It says, in the name of God Almighty, that's in italics. This is the King James way of telling you this isn't in the actual Hebrew language here. So if we leave that out, it makes sense. So the way we could read it is, God said, I appeared unto the early church father, or the early fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I appeared unto them by God Almighty. That's how I appeared to them, by that title, you see. That was his title, referring to his position of being all-powerful. God, El, is the Hebrew word, meaning it refers to power. and God Almighty, the one with all power, you see. So, when we're talking strictly about his name, we are talking about Jehovah, the I Am. Different from his title was his name, Jehovah. But by my name, Jehovah, no italics there. He says, this is my name. I was known by God Almighty, but now I'm a little more personal with you, he says to Moses. You know me by my name. All right. This is not like everyday practical important, but I think it's important to know. When we come to the name, and we're not really afraid to say the name Jehovah as long as we're saying it, meaning Jehovah. We don't want to say it in vain. Now, back in Exodus 3, Moses is talking and he asks God, what is your name? What will I tell them? Moses was familiar with the names of the gods of Egypt. He was raised in Egypt. He was raised, not born, but raised by Pharaoh's daughter. So he was in the court, all this kind of stuff. And they had hundreds and hundreds of gods, maybe thousands. Let me give you two examples. The name, the god Ra, or the god that they used at the cheerleading thing, was the god of the sun and creation, and his name means sun or creation, or creator. So, this is the god of the sun. And because the sun gives life, son of God, he was the god of creation, Ra. Then the god Horus was the god of kingship and of the sky, things lofty. His name means the distant one, sky god, watching above. So they named them for what they dealt with. I didn't look it up, but they had a crocodile god. So I don't know what his name meant, crocodile probably. But the names often reflect the god's role or area of authority in nature. The Bible talks about some place where they wondered whether Jehovah God was the god of the hills or the god of the valleys. Would his people be successful if they were battling on the hills or if they were battling in the valleys and so on? They found out that he was the I Am. He was God everywhere. So what Moses was really asking was, what are you the god of? Where is the area of your authority? And so when he says, I am, there is no beginning, there is no ending, there is no up and down, there is no here or there, there is no light or darkness. I am. I am that God. He was explaining the God beyond any possible limit. All right. We are now experts on the idea of the name of God. And probably know more than most preachers about the name Jehovah. Not that it was really necessary, but I just wanted you to know. All right. Here's the important part for us. Taking his name in vain. What's this about? And we want to warn ourselves that this is important to God. Third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Right after having no other God, making no other idols. Don't take his name in vain. The word vain is used next after the commandment in Exodus 23:1 and translated as false. On down the line, it's and there's Exodus 23:1a, thou shalt not raise a false report. Vain report, you could say. Psalm 31:6a, I have hated them that regard lying. vanities, or regard lying vanities. Not vanities this time, but lying is the word vain. Vain vanities. So these are two ways of looking at the idea, and then the very meaning of the word itself. The word itself is specifically emptiness or worthlessness. If something then is vain, it's not worth anything. Or, in this case, it's being treated as if it was nothing. So let's ask ourselves, here's how the word vain is used. What is he telling us not to do about his name? Using the name of God falsely. Falsely, as a lie or deception, you see, true or false. False report was how it was used. Well, using God's name falsely typically refers to invoking it, bringing it up in the conversation in a dishonest context. Now, this could be false oaths. You understand an oath? Take an oath. By God, I swear. And if you're lying, you're taking his name in vain. Swearing by God's name to validate a lie or a deceitful promise. He's warning us against that. Secondly, manipulative claims, saying, God told me, therefore it's, you know, it's bound upon you to help me do this. God told me we need to buy the property behind us, so you need to give me your wedding rings and your diamond nose rings. To lend divine authority to personal opinions or actions. And the third is prophetic fraud. Claiming divine revelation or authority when none exists. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, do you know what's going on here, Jeremiah? The prophets prophesy lies in my name. This is why he had Babylon come and wipe them out. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, a thing of nothing, and the deceit of their heart. That's what they're telling you, what their deceitful heart says. But not only lying, using the name of God in lying, but secondly, using the name of God in a lie. Not just as false, but as a lie. Misrepresenting God's character. So this goes beyond verbal misuse and touches on living falsely under God's name. So this would include hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is misused today. People say the church is full of hypocrites. I say, probably not. See, a hypocrite is an actor who says one thing but does something else. So the church is full of hypocrites. What they mean by that is they're supposed to be such goody-two-shoes. They're supposed to be such holy people. They're going to church. And they're not all so holy. Wait a minute. Coming to church doesn't mean we think we're holy. It means we need God. We're not here because we already got it. We're here because we need it. So, if I were to say I don't smoke cigarettes, but I secretly did, that would make me a hypocrite. What a ghastly thing to do. Why would you do that? I tried it as a kid. My dad smoked. When they found me, they brought me in and made me, and I was breathing it into my mouth, and you know, to do the thing of smoking. They said, no, you breathe it in. And I gagged and spit, and my throat tasted bad all day. And I said, what in the world? This is the worst thing ever. Titus 1:16. Paul talking about people of Crete. They profess that they know God. You get that? They say they know God. But in works, in what they do, they deny him. The person who denies God is an atheist. These are people who profess to believe, to know God. But you look at their actions and it's atheistic stuff. They live like atheists. Being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate, void of judgment. Void of judgment. Reprobate, the Calvinists have told us reprobate means you were chosen to go to hell. That's not what it means at all. It has nothing to do with that. It just means void of judgment, not having good judgment. So, pretending to be God's person when you're not intentionally, is using God's name in vain, calling God's name to you in vain. Then there's misusing Scripture, twisting God's words to justify injustice or personal gain or whatever sin you're dealing with. 2 Peter 3:16, the Apostle Peter talks about the writings of the Apostle Paul, as also in all his, Paul's epistles, speaking in them of things, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. He says, now, Paul wrote us Scripture, and he wrote us things, some things that were hard to understand. Which he says, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. This is like the word wrestle, where you grab somebody and twist their arm and stuff. And it means to twist. As they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Because there are some people who just love to be known as a great teacher. But they go into something they don't understand. They didn't take the time to understand it. And so they just twist it around until it's something they can understand. And they say, that's what it means. If you don't like it, change it. Tell people that's what it means. Misusing Scripture. It's actually using God's name in vain. And the third is religious exploitation. Religious exploitation. Using God's name to manipulate others. Especially for power or profit. This form of vanity is not just verbal, it's behavioral. It's about bearing God's name falsely, not just speaking it. This is a hard concept to grasp, but notice with me in Deuteronomy 13, 1-3, and I want you to pay attention to this because I've read in theology books where this was misquoted, misunderstood. He says, if there arise among you a prophet, what's a prophet do? I'm telling you the future. Or a dreamer of dreams. I had a great vision, you see. And this guy giveth thee a sign or a wonder. This is like a miracle. He says something's going to happen. Well, anybody can say that. But then it happens. Verse 2. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee. Say, oh, well, this has to be God then. This has to be a man of God. What he says, what God says. See? He said, but wait a minute. If he's saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them, what should we do? Obviously, he's a miracle man. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, tests you. God, why did you let this thing come true? To see what you would do. Are you going to be led astray? Are you going to deny what the Bible says? Are you going to deny what the truth of the Bible says? Because this guy seems to do a miracle? He says, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is how We honor his name. We're taking his name in vain when we're led astray by someone who claims to be of God. The third and last is this: using the name of God as emptiness or worthlessness. Now, this is perhaps the most subtle but widespread violation. This I can see in three ways. Flippant speech. Using God, Jehovah, or Jesus as filler words, exclamations, or even curses. If you emphasize a point of your conversation with "by God" or "oh my God," you are not speaking reverently. You're not really talking about God. You're not addressing the true God. So what are you doing? You're speaking the name of God in vain. It's just a worthless throwaway. You say, "Oh, my dog. Oh, my cat." See? But don't say God. Again, empty rituals. Oh, we who are churchgoers have to watch this. Reciting prayers. I notice different people, they don't say, "I'd like for you to pray." They'd say, "I'd like for you to say a prayer for." This is religious thinking, see, that you say a prayer. "Here's a prayer, I can read it, but I want you to say it." That's not prayer. Prayer is asking, not reciting. Reciting prayers or liturgies without reverence or intention. Let me give you something to think about. When you start your prayer with "our dear Heavenly Father," that's the way I normally start it, do you fill that name with reverent meaning? Are you talking to him when you say that? You say, "Well, of course, I'm talking to God, I'm praying." Is it instead an empty ritual giving you time to think of what you want to say? It's just the thing I say to start. "Our dear Heavenly Father," and now I'm thinking of what I'm going to say. You just began your prayer by taking the name of God in vain, making it worthless. There's evidently a group of people. I'm hearing several people start their prayers with, "Oh dear God, I love you so much," or something like that. And it's the same words every time. And I just wonder, you know, are they getting into this little key phrase but not thinking of God? You say, "Well, how are you supposed to do it?" Well, here's what I try to do, what I hope I do, is that I'm getting ready to pray and I just take a breath and I think of who I'm talking about. And when I say, "Dear Heavenly Father," I'm thinking of God. That word means something. That name means something. Empty rituals. And the last is, you see it around, you say, "Oh, that's kind of cute." Cultural trivialization. Reducing the sacred name to a meme. Do you know the word? It's a new word. A slogan or a marketing tool. Ugh. In this sense, vain means stripping the name of its weight. Treating the sacred as mundane, as commonplace. Our brother Webb mentioned this in his last message to us. The cute T-shirts that mimic the world's advertisements by substituting the name of God for Pepsi or another product are trivializing the dear name of God. Oh, that's different. That's cute. Cute? Is that what we want to think about our God? What a cute guy he is. How ridiculous. Now let me just close with this. Why does this matter? Why did God say this is important? The commandment isn't just about avoiding bad words. It is about honoring the presence and power of the divine name, of who that name represents. Now, the more familiar we are with praying and singing about the name of God, the more danger we run in using it without thought. That we start the song and we're singing about the dear Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and we're thinking about, I don't know if I turned the tea kettle off or something, you see. Why are we using the words without thinking, without filling it with meaning? In Hebrew thought, a name isn't just a label. It reflects essence, identity, and authority. And what are you communicating when you speak the name of God? What are you communicating to others that you say is important to you? You see? So to misuse God's name is to misrepresent who he is. To slander him before others. Or to belittle him. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, you have warned us not to take your name in vain. Certainly that means we need to stop and think and fill our words with meaning before we speak them, before we allow them to go rattling out into the world. I ask, Father, that you might so work that we will be hesitant to speak of you until we really mean it. That we will be afraid of hurting your feelings, of making you feel that we take you for granted, that you are not the great and holy one. You're just a thing of words, a string of words that we call in to sound like a certain thing. Forgive us for our trivialization. Forgive us for our way of thinking that the things of the world are equally important to you. I ask that you might burden our heart with the need to deal with you as an important being, the most important one in our life and in all of human life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you're saying, I haven't really thought about this. I hadn't really taken the time to understand what it means. I thought it meant don't say curse words with God's name in it. Well, it does. And I'm happy you don't do that, if indeed you don't. But what about all the other uses? What about all the other words that slip out when we're talking of God? Let's use it intentionally. Let us fill it with the meaning of God, his person, his holiness, his ultimate power. That when we speak of God, we stop rattling off words and speak of him as who he really is. Perhaps you're saying, I haven't taken that seriously before, but I want to now. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Say, pray for me. I need to understand this in a better way. I need to make, when I speak of God, to make it mean something. Pray for me. Father, we ask that you might Forgive us of our sins. Help us that we do not trivialize the things of God. I ask that you might especially be with me as I speak and teach and pray and do these things and can so often let my mind drift. And in doing that, speak your name in vain. What a sad thing for a preacher. What a sad thing for a teacher of the Word of God. But I ask that you might help all of us to recognize we can communicate something wrong about you when people hear us using your name in a worthless and trivial way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.